Heavenly Father, I just thank you for Pastor Tony and Michaelyn, Lord. It's great for them to be able to get away and enjoy each other's fellowship and company as husband and wife. And we pray for a rock-solid time for them, that they would enjoy it, that there would be no issues traveling. We ask you for traveling mercies for them going and coming, Lord. And we pray that you would, most of all, get them back to us safely. May they have rest. May they have joy and happiness, and be a witness for you out there in the middle of nowhere land, and have those divine appointments in those places, Lord, for them, to utilize them and to bring glory and honor to your name. And we just ask for the study tonight, Lord. I pray that you would energize me and strengthen me to give this message. I pray that this message wouldn't be burdensome, but in a way encouraging and strengthening and even questioning our own motivations in our hearts, Lord. I pray that you would, by your Spirit, speak to our hearts and really just hit the nails where they need to be hit in our hearts, Lord. I just pray that you would speak to each one of us in a mighty, mighty way through this teaching in Jesus' name. Amen. So I guess I'm supposed to have a title of this. What was it?
Principles for Serving.
Okay, there you have it. Principles for Serving. And we're going to look at some principles. I mean, there's so many you could draw from, but tonight we're going to look at probably the most important aspects of serving, having the right heart and mind. Okay, and then next week we'll look at some other things as it relates to serving. We're not going in depth. We only got 2 weeks and a couple hours, so both Wednesdays, not tonight. Too tired tonight. But anyway, I'd love to be able to do a Bible study on prophecy and end times, but you know, Tony did that a couple of, probably about a month ago, and he said something that's been rattling around in my brain ever since then. And, you know, he said something to the effect that his priority is to be able to teach us how to live in these last days and not be too concerned about all the things that are happening. You can get battle fatigue with that kind of stuff, but the main thing, his whole thought process and teaching ability is towards actually living out practical Christianity in the midst of the final days of the church age. So that's been kind of sticking in my head. And so we need to serve the Lord until he comes, right? And so we need to keep serving, but we need to have the right mind and the right heart to do that. We're going to start out with Ephesians 4:11 through, we'll have it up here on the board here. It says, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." So there's work to be done until the body of Christ is complete. Okay, we need to, the body of Christ must be complete before we can get out of here, rapture or otherwise. So we all have a mission. Right, we're supposed to be about the Lord's business till he comes. And so, which means serving, okay, serving in the church or serving wherever, but we need to be serving until he comes. We shouldn't be kicking back, you know, having rapturitis, you know, where we're just going to kick back until he comes. There's encounters that we need to have with people. There's ministry that has to go on, must go on, until he comes. And so we need to be about his business. So a teacher's goal must be for the equipping of the believers for the work of serving God through serving others, okay? To build up or to make the church adequate for service. Now, whether you like it or know it or don't like it and don't know it, you're going to know it now, is that you're all in a ministry. Every one of us is in the ministry. Wherever your shoes are, that's where your ministry is at. I'm not talking about being in the closet. I'm talking when you have them on and you're at school or you're at work or wherever. Wherever you're at, in your shoes, it's time to minister. It's time to serve the Lord. So we need to be about that. So we must be serving Christ till he comes. Amen? All right, I'm going to give you a warning, as I usually do. If you're not serving your spouse and immediate family first, then do not get involved in the ministry at church, please. Okay? If you're not doing it at home, within your family, don't come here and try to do it, because all you'll do is embitter your family members. Okay? The first thing you need to do, husbands, we just heard Tony teach all this. Husbands, you're to love your wives. Wives, you know what you're supposed to do. And you just need to be doing it, all right? And so don't get involved in church stuff until you got that figured out, okay? So serve at home first, just like I said, husbands to wives and kids and so on. So just about in every bulletin that we have on Sundays, there's a request for servants in various ministry opportunities. So we're going to look at what's required, at least from a believer to serve mentally and internally, okay? Again, mind and heart, they got to be connected to be able to do this. So let's say that for the sake that everybody here has been serving their families at home and taking care of business there, and you've been praying about serving here at Calvary Chapel, and I look out and I see a lot of you guys that are new to the church, less than a year, and you're already serving, and that's awesome. That is just, you don't know how tickled that makes Tony's and my heart. You came to serve, and that's awesome. But not everybody's that way. Should be, though. But anyway, so before I offend anybody in the room, I know that many of you are serving in other places, not just here at Calvary Chapel, but you might be the food kitchen downtown or whatever, or in some other ministry, a home fellowship or whatever, and that's great. So what you're going to hear tonight will be a reminder to you as to why you're doing or what you should be doing, the mental makeup that you should have while you're doing it, okay? So specifically, we're talking about the mind and the heart, the thought process of a servant, or the heart, which is vital for any action or service for God. So the heart and the mind got to be right in order to be doing this, serving the Lord. So for baby Christians, this is probably going to be some new information for you to help you get started in service and to start praying about ministry. Because again, if you're in the body of Christ, you're a minister, right? You're a priest, a holy nation. And so we need to be about his business. So for others, you may have gotten off track a little bit in your service, and the Holy Spirit might want to, you know, bring you back to the main road. You made a left-hand turn someplace and are trying to figure out how to get back. The Holy Spirit wants you to get back. He wants you to get your mind right and your heart right to be able to serve, okay? But we need to define a few terms here. One is humility, okay? And so I'm going to define this in several different ways, but one is the disposition, and this is important. This is super important, humility. The disposition of valuing or assessing oneself appropriately, especially in light of one's sinfulness or creatureliness, okay? It's a character trait of a person who knows exactly what he is capable of without God. Okay, you know who you are. You know who you are when what you were before God got a hold of you, and that's a great thing, right? God's gotten a hold of us, but you know what? He didn't. We're supposed to kill that old man. Okay, some of us brought that old man along in some of our ministries, and we want to be able to deal with that old man correctly. And oftentimes, humility is just understanding who you are in the scheme of things, okay? Humility is being fully dependent on God in every area of your life. I remember, I can't tell you, again, I'm a retired firefighter, and there's many times where we'd be en route to a fire, and I'd see a smoke column, and I'd start praying right away because it looked ugly, And Lord, help me and give me wisdom, you know. And then other times it was like, Lord, I got this, you know. And then he would show me in about 3 minutes, and I'd be crying out, Father, help me, get me out of this mess. And so every area of our life we need to be humble in and being totally dependent on God for all things, okay? So humility is essential, and that's a heart issue. That's essential for service in God's kingdom, okay, within the church. And so a humble person is a person who's other-centered, sees others' needs, and has compassion to help, even at their own expense, okay? Sometimes when we go to minister to somebody, it actually drains us of resources or energy or what have you. But you're not tired of it at the end of it. You know, it's that old saying where if you're tired of the ministry, that's a bad deal. It's okay to be tired in the ministry, all right? But when you get tired of it, there's some issues. Okay, so a humble person is other-centered. Webster's 1828 dictionary, which I love, says this, that it's a modest estimate of one's own worth. Lowliness of mind is what it says in the Bible regarding humility. A deep sense of one's own unworthiness in the sight of God and even in man. So we have those definitions that I want you to have as we go through these scriptures. Now, the exact opposite of humility is pride, okay? And we all know that. We all struggle with it from time to time. And it should be less and less as we grow in Christ. But it still raises its ugly head, okay? Pride overvalues and overassesses oneself's gifts and importance to the overall scheme of things. Pride believes he or she is more capable than most others. Pride is independent of it's not necessary to have any help. You can do it all. Believes only in self and in no one else. Pride believes he or she is the most important one in the room and deserves all the attention. Okay. Webster's dictionary, 1828 again, says inordinate self-esteem and unreasonable conceit of one's own superiority in talents, beauty, wealth, accomplishments, rank, or elevation in office. As God was the perfect example of what humility is, Satan is the perfect example of what pride and arrogance is. Okay, that's where it comes from. So right now there are many examples. We've seen it all over the news lately, the last couple of years, of poor service, not only in the government, school boards, etc., but even the church has really struggled lately, probably last 40 or 50 years, with poor leadership and service and pride and arrogance in the pastors and elders and so on. And so even the church is now suffering from pride and arrogance, and it ought not be that way. And, there's many examples. All you gotta do is watch the news, you know, hear about pastors failing or falling. And it's usually because of pride and arrogance is the number one thing. So be praying for your pastors and leaders, okay, that they not fall into these schemes of the wicked one, because he loves it when we stumble, because you know what? If we stumble, then that the rest of the world doesn't want Christianity because they don't believe in it. So if you can get the pastors and teachers and the ministers to fall and stumble, then you know, it just puts a black eye on the church and nobody wants to be a part of it. I mean, we have Christians that don't even want to be a part of churches. So pride and arrogance has crept in like a cancer to the body of Christ, especially in these last days. Now, when I was a firefighter, we had what was called 10 standard fire orders, okay? These are like the 10 commandments of firefighting. You didn't break those 10. If you broke those 10, you usually die, okay? And then they created, back when I first started in 79, there was 13 situations that were shout watch outs. Now, these 13 situations were different than the 10. The 10 commandments, essentially, of firefighting, you never broke. Why? Because somebody got killed breaking one of those 10. Oftentimes, it was multiple of those 10 standard fire orders, and you'd have a firefighter fatality. The 18 situations were situations that you could find yourself in, but you would have to shout, watch out, that you were in one of these situations, and then go down a checklist of mitigating factors to make it safe so that you could continue to fight fire aggressively but provide for safety first. All right, so it was important that you recognize those situations. And the difference between the two is when in every fatality, firefighter fatality, in a wildland environment, at least one of those 10, oftentimes there was multiple, were broken, and that's why they died. In the 18 situations, there were situations where there was near misses. Okay, people almost got killed. Again, they increased it from 13 to 18 over time, and there's probably 30 by now, but I don't know. I kind of just checked out of that whole thought process. So what we're going to do tonight is just do a short list of six shout watch outs of pride and arrogance seeping into the ministry, into your ministry maybe, that you need to kind of evaluate yourself. The Holy Spirit wants to, you know, identify these things so that you don't have a fatal ministry. Maybe you're right now in a situation where you're close to a near miss. And so we're going to identify six. And there is probably, you could probably find hundreds of these things. But I'm just going to talk about briefly six. And we're not going to go in depth in any of them, but we're just going to mention them. Number one is you think you're the only one who's doing things the right way. Now, you could be the pastor, you could be an elder, you could be a worship leader, you know, whatever, home fellowship, it doesn't matter. If you're leading a ministry and you think that you're the only one that's doing it right, you're taking a step in the wrong direction, okay? You need a lot of knowledge, okay, but it doesn't mean you have all knowledge, okay? And so be careful when you start to think that you're the one that only seems to be able to do it right. That's pride and arrogance, or at least you're headed in that direction for a failure. Number two, your theological view is always 100% the right way to think. Okay, same kind of line there, but you think you got your theology down. And, you know, there's a lot of gray areas that I think the Lord left in His Word to help us to learn to love one another when we have disagreements as it relates to theology. Number three, you can't or won't ask for help when you obviously need help in a ministry. And I know my wife's probably going, yeah, uh-huh. What about that? Well, there's times when, you know, I try to do it by myself, but my motivation is I don't want to bother anybody else. But, you know, sometimes I can do it. I can get it done. I'm a man. I should be able to do this. And that's pride and arrogance, okay? And as you get older, you get more humble, trust me, with the things that go on. But at least the Lord will show you there's things you can't do that you could, that you did 10 years ago, all right? So be careful about not needing any help in the ministry, whether that be prayer, just assistance and other ways, you know, just be careful about that kind of stuff. And think about this for a second. Did Jesus need help in carrying the cross to Golgotha? He did, didn't he? Didn't Simon the Cyrene give him a hand? Did Jesus kind of try to take it away? No, I got this. I got to carry it all the way myself, you know? No, he enlisted the help of this man, or at least the Roman soldiers did. So, you know, even the Lord needed help getting that cross to Golgotha. So there's going to be times in each one of our ministries where we just need help. You know, we just can't do it all. And you know, having that humble mind to be able to ask for help is essential as it relates to ministry. Okay? Number four, you're more concerned about what others think of your service than what God thinks of your service. Okay? You're constantly worried how it looks to the fellowship or to whoever. That's a bad sign. Okay? Our main concern is it pleasing to the Lord? You know, are we being a sweet savor to the Lord? It's our hearts. That's where service comes from, is from our hearts. And he's looking for the humble heart. Okay? Number five, you're competing for attention with someone else's ministry. Okay? Someone down the street or within the church. Well, look what they're doing. Oh, you know, I got to do better than that guy. That's nonsense. That's pride. Okay? We don't want that in our ministries. Trust me. And again, it's fatalistic if you go down that road. Number six, you care more about a title than relieving burdens of others. And, you know, I've had titles my whole career. I hate titles, and many of you know that I hate one specific title now. I'm just a servant of the Lord. But, you know, I had to be called captain. And when I was a captain, when I promoted, it was battalion chief. And, you know, it's like, and what was funny, and I hated it, was I went, one day I was a captain. Hey, Cap, how's it going? Next day, good morning, Battalion Chief Busby. You know, it's like, dude, nothing's changed, okay? I got a different color badge now, but I'm the same guy. And people treat you different when titles become important to people. And so just be careful about that. So if you're after a title within the church, it's probably not a good thing. And so think about that. And there could be 1,000 of these things that create problems, or pride and arrogance that create problems for us. I've just picked 6 for tonight just to keep it short. But there is really only a few really good examples to help us stay on the right course as it relates to staying humble for service. And I've listed 3 here tonight. You can find more in the Bible, but Moses specifically, Paul, and Jesus Christ himself. Now, we're going to look at Exodus 2:11, and this is a time, again, in Exodus. This is before Moses actually really started in the ministry, and it took God 40 years to get the world out of Moses in the back wilderness herding sheep, okay? But God saw something in Moses that he could use. And I guarantee you that God sees something within you that he wants to use. But first, how humble are you, okay? And, you know, humility is like a bar of soap. Just when you think you got it, poof, it's gone, right? So you got to be careful with it. But In Exodus 2:11, it says, "Now it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown," and remember, he was raised, he was Hebrew, but he was raised Egyptian. He went out to his brethren. Now he knew he was a Hebrew, okay? So he's roughly 40 years old at this time. He's been extremely trained up in the ways of Egypt, in the military and in their kingdom and whatnot. And he had status and all that stuff, but he had a desire to go out and see his brethren and looked at their burdens. And he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brethren. So he looked this way and that, and when he saw no one, he killed the Egyptian and hit him in the sand. Now, the first thing you'll notice is that godly service, or the difference between worldly service and godly service, is worldly service creates burdens for people. Godly service wants to remove burden from people. Okay? And Moses had the eye. He wanted to go out and perceive or see what was going on with his brethren, and he had it in his heart to look to see what burdens they had that he might be able to relieve those burdens. So having a burden in his heart to relieve others' burdens is a good thing. But there's a problem here because he ended up murdering an Egyptian. But here's the other thing about service that you need to understand from this story, okay? He had enough passion to murder. I'm not saying you need to murder people, but when you're as passionate to relieve your brothers and sisters' burden to the point of committing murder, God can use that kind of passion. And God wanted to use Moses, okay? But again, it took him 40 more years in the wilderness before he could be used. He had to get all of Egypt out of him in the backcountry of the desert. So, you know, so having a desire to see brothers and sisters' burdens is awesome. And having the passion in your heart to want to relieve those are essential parts of Christian ministry. Okay, again, humility is a major part of that too. Now, remember that here I got a question for you. Has your service began to increase the load on others, or is your service for the Lord lightening the load for others? And I could think of a situation in our previous church where someone became a member of the worship team, and suddenly, you know, there were so many issues with that one individual that it disrupted the whole worship team, and it took having this person to step down to get everything fixed again because this person was just arrogant and prideful. Okay, when they got into the position, suddenly everybody had to do it his way instead of the worship leader's way. And so again, creating burdens for others is a worldly concept. We should want to help and have passion to relieve burdens from one another in whatever ministry we get involved in. That was just one bad example. So now, as it relates to Jesus' situation, he had the Pharisees. They were the perfect example of what not to be in the ministry. They were the epitome of pride and arrogance in the ministry. And Jesus had a strong opinion of their service. Remember, one of our Shout Watch Outs was, you're more concerned about what others think of your service than what God thinks of your service. Here's Jesus' opinion of the Pharisees and scribes, Matthew 23, 1 through 3, and you should already be there. And it says, then Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do. But do not do according to their works, for they say and they do not do. Again, they were of the nature to place burdens on everybody as it related to religion, the Jewish religion, but for themselves, they wouldn't even lift their fingers to help another person's burdens. So, and that's hypocritical and arrogant to be that way. Their words and their actions did not line up. That is a sign of arrogance and pride. So, I mean, and the things that Tony gets up here and teaches and whatever I have to teach, I better be applying those things because we're going to stand before God at some point and have to answer to him as to how we, you know, did here. Were we the example? Not from our words, but from our actions. Okay, that's what matters most to God is the action. Verb. Love is a verb. Did you know that? So anyway, now going on to Matthew 23, verse 4, it says, Jesus speaking, he says, for they bind heavy burdens hard to bear, and they lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their little fingers. So you might be a home fellowship teacher or whatever, and you get there and you start laying heavy burdens. Or maybe you go to work and you find a young brother in the Lord at work, and then you start laying burdens on him that he just can't handle. He's not mature enough to handle those things, and you start to shipwreck his faith. You have to be very careful with that kind of stuff. So you want to free people up. And, you know, how many supervisors try to make their employees miserable constantly underneath them and burden them in the workforce? Some supervisors think that's their job, to make everybody else's life miserable. I remember I traded stations one time with somebody, and I worked for this one captain that I'd never worked for before. And first thing he did when I got to his station is he sat me down, took me in front of the chalkboard, and he drew this mountain. He drew this stick figure at the top, stick figure at the bottom, and then he showed rocks rolling downhill. And he says, "You see, this guy at the top, that's me. This guy at the bottom, that's you. My job is to kick rocks off this mountain all day long, and your job is to run around and catch them." And that's his idea of leadership. And you know, creating burdens was his idea of supervision. It was lousy. It was one of the worst examples I ever seen. And we don't want to be those kind of individuals in the workforce, and we don't want to be those kind of individuals in the church. God forbid. Religious people become arrogant, and they increase burdens on others rather than lightening the load of others. Has your ministry started to become a heavy load on others? And you could apply this to your marriage. Husbands, is your wife getting, you know, every morning, is she loaded up with all your burdens for the day? And your kids mow the lawn, do this, do that, and all this other stuff? And then you get home and kick back and watch the football game on Sunday? I mean, good grief. That's not leadership, all right? We need to be careful with that. That's ministry as well. It's ministry in the home. So be careful about your pride and arrogance there and your casting or throwing burdens on everybody else. Now, really ask yourself, is your heart to relieve the load on other people? If it is, you're right where God wants you. So the next godly service we want to look at in this verse back in Exodus 2:11 is, notice, it says, "Now when it came to pass in the days when Moses was grown that he went out to his brethren and looked at their burdens, Moses wanted to understand their pain and suffering and again to relieve it." Now a lot of people, you know, in this age, they just want to come to church, sit down in the pew, and be the first out in the parking lot and home and away. And, you know, that's not what church is about. Church is about us as a family of Christ, of God, coming together. This should be like a hospital every Wednesday and Sunday. All right? We come in here and someone has a heavy burden. If you have a heavy burden and you need to share that, you should be sharing it. Hey, just go to somebody and say, "Will you pray for me? You know, put me on your prayer list. I'm struggling with this or that or whatever, or physical needs, whatever it is." But, you know, this place should be like a spiritual hospital when you come in here. If you've got a burden, find somebody and say, "Hey, pray with me. Help me lift this off." There's plenty of people I know, a lot of you guys in here, most of you in here, you're willing to do that. You want to do that. So if you've come in here and you're trying to carry your burden all by yourself, you know, you don't have to. Whatever that burden is, think about that. Now, his desire was to get the right perception of his brother's burdens. Now, let's look a little bit at verse 12, I think it is here. It might be the rest of 11. It says, "And he saw..." Okay, that's where it is. So, rest of verse 11, it says, "And he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brethren. And again, he looked this way and that, and he murdered the individual." Again, passion is required for service. All right? I'm not telling you to go out and murder, okay? But I am saying that you need to probably pay, if you don't have any passion to serve or to see the need of others, start praying about having that sort of passion. Now, he was so passionate to lift the burdens of his brothers, he was willing to murder to relieve the pressure. Remember Paul? He also, before he met Jesus, had passion as well, because he murdered Stephen, right? Everybody set their coats down to Paul, and he was passionate enough about his religion to have this individual taken out. And then he met Jesus. But the point of that is that God saw passion in this individual that he could use. So, you know, are you passionate to be able to serve God and to relieve your burden from your brother? Pray about it. And so, and then consider Jesus. He was so passionate about relieving our burdens, he allowed himself to be murdered, okay? And so that is the definition of being other-centered, which is what we all need to have as servants of the Lord, okay? At no matter what level of ministry, having others as your focus rather than self, okay? Now, there are times when you got to take the board out of your own eye, okay? We're not talking about that. Okay, we're talking about if you don't have a board in your own eye, then you should be passionate and looking to be able to lift the burden off of others. So we're not going to talk about being a hypocrite there. But anyway, so for those of us serving here at Calvary Chapel, are you creating more burdens than you are relieving or in any of the ministries that you're doing outside? Are you passionate about relieving the burdens of others? Are you so passionate for others that you're willing to die to all selfish ambition to see others' loads lightened? Does that describe you? Service for the Lord requires passion. Passion enough to murder your selfish ambitions, okay? Now, again, this is the definition, or what we're trying to achieve here is being other-centered. Service is seeing and perceiving the burdens of others and having the passion to do something to relieve that burden, even at your own cost. Okay, husbands, are you relieving the burdens of your wives, or are you adding to it? Parents, are you relieving the burdens of your children, or do you keep adding to it? And I'm not talking about responsibilities. We all got to teach our kids to have responsibilities. Okay, that is necessary and important. But is there unnecessary burdens that you're placing on your children? What you're going to do as a father or mother is you're going to embitter them. Be careful about that. Tony taught on that just a few weeks ago. Those who are bosses, are you freeing up your employees or constantly making their jobs harder by the day? As masters, as supervisors, we should be doing everything in our power to help our employees to be successful at whatever they're doing. Not to throw rocks in front of them or what have you, or extra burdens. If you're a boss, be careful about that, because you're going to stand before the Lord someday. Ministry leader, are you relieving burdens or you're adding to them? Has your service and goal been to relieve the burdens of others? Or has pride and arrogance crept into your ministry? Is it all about you, or is it about Christ and your brothers and sisters? Has the passion left to relieve others' burdens? Maybe it's time that you, like Moses, went out and started to look at how you might relieve burdens of others. Now, maybe you have the burden right now. Maybe you're the one that has the burden. The one you need to get hooked up with is Jesus, because he said in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, he said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." That's who you want to be hooked up with. That's our example as well. So those of us who are in the ministry, and by the way, again, we're all in the ministry. You need to remember our perfect example, who is Jesus Christ. In Matthew 20, 28, it says, "Just as the Son of Man," this is Jesus speaking, "just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." That is the absolute perfect picture of humility, passion, right? And wanting to relieve burdens, our burden of sin. When you came to this church, did you come to serve or to be served? True godly service requires passion to lift burdens. Can you honestly say that's who you are and that's why you're here? Now, there has been an observation made about most churches, and it's kind of aggravating, but this is the truth. And I've seen it not only here, but in other churches where I came from. Tony's talked about it where he's come from, that typically only 10% of all the congregants do all the service for the 90%. Okay? 10% of the body is serving the 90%. Can you imagine what this church would be like if the 90% was serving the 10%? Wouldn't that be awesome? Isn't that what Jesus would love to see in his church? Is that 90% of the people serving each other and even the 10%? Do you think people would want to come to this church if that was the case? Man, go to Calvary Chapel, man. It's a blessing to go there. They just serve you like crazy, you know? I mean, that would be awesome that our name would get thrown around like that. So pray about your passion to serve. Pray about who you might be able to lift the burdens off of. Pray about having an other-centered heart versus self-centeredness. And ask God to show you if pride and arrogance has crept into your ministry, whether that means ministry at home or abroad. Now, again, please, for those of you that are not serving at home, start serving at home, okay, so that you can be used here at Calvary Chapel when the time comes. But start serving your family now, all right? And when you've relieved those that are closest to you, then come to church and reach out to relieve the burdens of others. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's pray. You can come on up, Donna, for our last song. And I got a couple more verses I want to leave with you after she sings. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your great example, Lord, of coming and relieving our burden of sin. And Father, I pray, and we're to all be Christ-like. We're called Christians. We should be people who just automatically have passion to relieve other people's burdens and to be humble just as you were humble, to see our need. May we see others' needs as well. May we be like Moses, to be able to go out and observe and perceive and to determine if someone needs our help. Father, we pray that you would just again speak to our hearts after this message as we go away here. And Father, I pray that the people wouldn't be burdened with this message, but they'd be encouraged with it, that they would just really pray about their service right now. Are they truly serving you in humility and with passion? And I ask myself that too, Lord. I pray that you would convict me of all sin and each one of us of any sin, Lord. And we just give you praise and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing one more song.